Hey there, everybody. I'm filmmaker, podcaster, California State Certified Violence Prevention Specialist, and podiatrist to the stars, Phil Lernis. And I've been proud to be a U.S. cultural correspondent for Alex Lefchuk's Midweek Drive program for many years now. And I congratulate you, dear listener, on having found this oasis of podcast audio magic in the cosmos. Or on your internet-equipped mobile device.
Buggles being particularly prescient there with Clean Clean. Well, we need to be, otherwise we'll get nasty viruses and other such things. Wash your hands, that's the important thing. Wash your hands regularly or use hand sanitizer. And don't necessarily engage in raves on Bournemouth Beach or indeed in the middle of Liverpool, no matter how tempting it might well be. Would you not agree, Hannah Brown?
Yes, I'd say that's very good advice, Alex.
Well, you know, we're putting together the notions of blended learning for the students who will be coming to the University of Lincoln in October, of course, to start off the whole new academic year. And, you know, from that point of view, I mean, we need to have these things in place. you're clearly our ace Essex correspondent. You've moved on Vaharic to Whole New World, also based in Essex. There is a place called Whole New World in Essex. That, of course, comes from the Aladdin movie, I think. But last week, Hannah, we put you put to you that challenge of maybe actually going against all the advice of critics across the globe who said, don't do it. And I've suggested you should actually see Artemis Fowl. Did you take that challenge? Have you done it?
So I tried to do the next best thing.
Yes.
As I don't have Disney Plus. Unfortunately, I couldn't watch the actual film.
Ah.
So I was like, I can't let Alex down. So I thought I'd try the next best thing. Hear me out. So I watched trailers and then I went and got the book.
Okay.
So I started reading the book as with all the negative reviews. I was like, you know, I'm gonna go book first. Then at least I start, you know, getting into the world.
Yes.
And then when I am able to watch the movie, maybe treat myself to Disney Plus.
Yeah. Well, you could always do the 7-day free trial, of course.
Oh, it's a free trial. Maybe
there
I should.
It's the 7-day free trial, and then you can actually just for that and then catch all the other bits and pieces. Anyway, so what have you made of the novels then?
Well, with the first one so far, I'm quite intrigued. I mean, it's a very different idea, the idea of a child criminal genius. Then there's also fairies. It's very interesting. I mean, I can't think of anything else that's exactly quite like it.
Mm.
But I'm hooked already into wanting to find out exactly how it's all going to end. So, I haven't finished the first book.
Well,
so all I know is that he's going to go to war with the fairies, apparently, and I'm on the edge of my seat.
Yeah. Well, of course, leprechauns and
lower
earth people and all of those factors that are there are intriguing. So you're taking that line with the possible expectation that when you see what Disney have done with it and what Kenneth Branagh has actually done with it, featuring Dame Judi Dench and Colin Farrell and many others, you might well have those expectations dashed in the same way as, for many, George Lucas's inclusion of Jar Jar Binks ruins their appreciation of Star Wars.
Yes, but there are so many other books in the series. If the film disappoints, then I'll just go get the next book.
I think that's very sensible, Hannah, and well worth putting together. Historic period of time, technologically speaking, for Alex Levchuk this week. I'm not speaking about myself in the third person. I don't know why I mentioned that, but what the heck. I had my first successful Zoom calls.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. Welcome to the Zoom world.
And again, it's something we may well be using for these programs to insert from time to time original interviews from that point of view. When did you make your Zoom debut, Hannah?
That would have been last year.
Mm-hmm.
So as part through the company I work for, I was preparing to get ready to do my senior journalism exams. And to do that, I needed to finally, officially, pass my 100 words per minute shorthand. So I was put on a course where I had to use Zoom, and then I did pass my 100 words per minute shorthand, and then over Zoom, I then also did my senior exams remotely and passed them as well.
Okay. So, congratulations, Hannah. I mean, this
thank
is,
you.
again, richly deserved and rightly so. Before too long, I'm sure you'll be running departments and doing other factors as well. And as a young journalist, through this era of technology that's there, and clearly electronic journalism is at the heart of this, is this something which you think, yes, this is definitely the future? Do you mourn for the days where you'd actually go out and find stories? Do you still do that? How does it actually operate? What's the traditional modus operandi of Hannah Brown?
So it's a bit of both, really. As while with technology, we can easily get in contact with a wider variety of people, and also try and find people a lot easier through, you know, social media, and then we can call them even on the telephones now. Maybe not as high tech as, you know, being able to video call on Zoom. But I think there's still something that you can't quite get with using online compared to going in person and interviewing people in person. I think there are some things you do that you deserve, that need you to go, especially more emotional features, or about someone who's telling you something that's incredibly hard for them to go through, or sharing experiences that's incredibly powerful. I think you need to go in person because, one, it makes it easy for them to explain it to you, but you can create a connection and get a better, tell their story better, because then you get to see them more, you know, get to know them better as a person and hear their story better. So I think there's always a place for face-to-face interviews and journalism.
Well, certainly,
things just easier with social distancing.
One of the aspects that certainly our mutual friend and colleague and midweek driver Tessa Snart has been using is the audio-only sound version of Skype. So you can actually just use the, or you can just, you did, obviously you can click on whether you want audio, whether you want video, and so on. It is interesting, and she's obviously Country in the Kitchen is her podcast. In case you want to check it out, where she does a little bit. So, sort of similar stuff to what we used to do with Sound and Country Vision, but clearly that's in hiatus at present, so we still have Tessa's Tune of the Week that goes out on the Midweek Drive, but also there's her Country in the Kitchen podcast as well. Have you considered setting up your own podcast, Hannah Brown, and basically sort of calling it something like HB's Treats?
I don't know. I don't know what I talk about. I don't know if I'm interesting enough.
Oh, come now. Come now. I mean, you are the Hannah Brown, fez-wearing Hannah Brown, Harry Potter Society basic Hannah Brown, and indeed highly successful journalism graduate and indeed postgraduate Hannah Brown. I mean, what's not to appreciate in that sort of statement, honestly? You know? And, of course, you could work your way through the Artemis Fowl aspects as well, which is the whole new side of things there and set up things. So there's heaps of things from that.
Just set up a whole book versus film sort of podcast. Who manages to adapt books well and who doesn't?
There you are. You sorted through. Now, the next little challenge we mentioned, obviously, Artemis Fowl. I would say that you're sort of 45% of the way there. Okay, you haven't seen the movie as yet, but you have gone and read the book, which is good, and that's commendable. The other line was, have you managed to check out any of Richard Fitzwilliam's stuff, and indeed any thoughts about that you'd like to share with respect to our film critic?
So I think I listened to the wrong one. So I went on the sound wheel and was looking through the different shows and then listened to them, and then I couldn't find him. So I've listened to some other shows, but not Richard Fitzwilliam.
This is what we like about you, Hannah. You know, we give you some suggestions and you do something that's sort of there, but not quite.
I just go off in a different direction. Yeah. I don't know why. Yeah, I tried. Had about Robot Week.
National Robotics Week, yes. Oh, so you bit like Robin Pierce, you elected to go for that. Richard's line, usually we actually have the movies in the headline of the piece. So this week, for instance, we'll have La La Land, which is his classic movie. Last week, of course, it was The Devil Wears Prada.
I have seen that one, though, so I've seen these movies, pulling this one back gradually.
Well, and that's why they're part of Richard Fitzwilliam's classic series that we're running in combination with that. So, Devil Wears Prada, how would you rate it?
I think that's actually quite a good movie. It's a bit different. I don't know how, obviously I don't work in financial journalism, so I can't say how accurate it is to the world of not financial.
Fashion journalism, really. Fashion journalism, a little bit different from financial, but yet again, they both start with an F. And if you ever wanted a classic case of that, that's why we appreciate you so much, Hannah, because we just give you one letter and you go off on one. It's great.
It's a different thing. Yeah. I'm going to go, you know, you think I'm talking about Devil Wears Prada, but I'm actually talking about, you know, the story of the Financial Times. Oh. Like, that's the movie, clearly. I haven't seen that.
And I'm sure that Meryl Streep and Anne Hathaway never thought any critic would actually have decoded that as a critique of the financial journalistic market. It's very good, very good. Although fashion obviously does raise a lot of capital, which is a point that's made in the movie. So if I was to push you and say La La Land or Devil Wears Prada, which one would get your highest vote?
It'd probably have to be La La Land. I do love a musical. I have a very big weak spot for musicals.
In which case you possibly won't be checking out Rosemary's Baby, which is Richard's classic movie for next week, because it's all about demonic possession. But there we are, that's another line entirely. Hannah, it has been, as we knew it would be, just frankly fantastic. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme this morning?
I have, thank you.
And will you return on the programme next week where we continue an update of the sort of things which we suggest and then you do something that's sort of similar but not quite on the good? Will you return?
Yes.
Marvellous. Do you like the Muppets?
Yes,
Life's a Happy Song.
Everything is great. Everything is grand. I got the whole wide world in the palm of my hand.
Everything is perfect. it's falling into place. I can't seem to wipe this smile off my face. Life's a happy song, and there's someone by my side to sing along. When you're alone, life can be a little rough. It makes you feel like you're 3 foot tall. When it's just you, well, times can be tough. When there's no one there to catch your fall. Everything is great, everything is grand. I got the whole wide world in the palm of my hand. Everything is perfect, it's falling into place. I can't seem to wipe this smile off my face. Life smells like a rose, with someone to paint and someone to pose. Life's a piece of cake, with someone to pedal, someone to break. Life is full of glee, with someone to saw, someone to see. Life's a happy song, when there's someone by my side to sing along. I've got everything that I need right in front of me. Nothing's stopping me, nothing that I can't be with you right here next to me.
Life's a piece of cake, with someone to give
and someone to take.
Life's a piece of art,
with someone to wash
and someone to drive.
Life's an easy road,
with someone beside you to share the load.
Life is full of highs,
with someone to start
and someone to fry.
Life's a leg of lamb,
with someone there to lend a hand.
Life's a bunch of flowers,
with someone to while away the hours.
Life's a fillet of fish,
hey!
Yes, it is!
Life's a happy song, with someone by your side to sing.
Sorry, I was super excited.
Oh, this is the most romantic thing ever. I've always dreamt of seeing Los Angeles.
I know, Walter can't wait either.
You don't mind that he's coming, right?
No, of course not. As long as we can spend our anniversary dinner together, that's all I ask.
I'm gonna go check on Walter.
Everything's great, everything's grand, except Gary's always off with his friend. It's never me and him, it's always me and him. And him, I wonder when it's going to end. But I guess that's okay, 'cause maybe someday I know just how it's going to be. You're right up on steed, get down on one knee and say, Mary, will you marry me?
When there's someone by your side to sing,
life's a happy song. When there's someone by your side to sing along.
Featuring Amy Adams, of course, the Muppets song, and Life's a Happy Song. And it always is a happy song when we say, welcome back, Zoe Jameson.
Thank you very much.
Excellent. Clearly, there may well be Muppets you'll be encountering in your role as a veterinary surgeon, but we'll just put that to one side, and clearly that could be a whole range of things. What are your thoughts so far, Zoe, in terms of the ease of lockdown facilities that are there, and yet people are still very cautious, very concerned, as we're seeing with coronavirus spikes in the United States and other parts of the globe?
Yeah, I mean, I have to admit, I have been quite cautious too and haven't really changed very much. I've become quite accustomed to my little lockdown lifestyle.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that's clearly the next sort of stage is easing away from that and moving into a traditional system. But one suspects that given that the virus is out there and hasn't gone away, mask wearing and such will be very much in vogue for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, it looks that way, doesn't it?
How is it going, though, Zoe, because you're still training for the London Marathon, because those devious people at the London Marathon, and I know you're doing this for the St. John's Ambulance people, but they're saying, let's keep Zoe running. Because every so often they say, we'll make another announcement, we'll make another announcement. They still don't really know. We were hearing from Richard Fitzwilliams that when he was in London, it was very much a deserted city. And depending on what happens, of course, in July, all sorts of things could impact.
Yeah, indeed. We are due to get another update towards the end of July. But at the minute, the marathon organisers are hopeful that it will go ahead. So I suppose no one really knows what's around the corner at the minute, do we? We've got to just take it day by day.
Well, it's an interesting decision, and we do live clearly in interesting times. Now, listening, looking at social media, I was fascinated to see the image that you've put together in terms of your Facebook page, because it looks as though you're in a field of golden. It's almost like you're a living human being in the midst of Van Gogh. A Vincent Van Gogh painting, or Vincent Van Gogh, one of those two things. Was that a deliberate choice to say, yes, I need a field of yellow just to actually sort myself through here?
That photo was taken actually during lockdown, and my dad is a keen photographer, so we couldn't really resist the opportunity.
No, exactly. I mean, it could almost have been Fields of Gold, the sequel. I was very impressed with respect to that. And as you know, previous times we've talked about the very impactful sight of your good self being wheeled away from a hockey match with a cruciate ligament injury. I think that's the third consecutive week I've actually mentioned it, but, you know, it is there. Did you have an operation for that, by the way? I mean, are you back on presumably you are, otherwise you wouldn't be able to run.
Yeah, I had two surgeries on my knee, so I spent quite a long time not being able to run, but we are back in action, ticking away.
Excellent. And any thoughts now that you have graduated successfully in terms of where you'd be headed? I mean, are you still planning with that, or is it a case of, well, you're sending out various suggestions and people saying, we don't know, what's going to be happening, we can't take vets on at present dealing with horses?
I do actually have a plan for once, so that's quite good. But I am due to start a job in Newbury on Monday week. So, not very long away.
Means, I just turned my microphone off there, so you probably won't have heard a thing I was actually saying. This technically means that there's just one more Northern Ireland based telephonic link before you're back in on this side of the pond.
Yeah, well, I might be back on your side of the pond this time next week, because I suppose I'm going to have to move all of my belongings. So I need to kind of be ready.
Don't you have servants that can do that for you? I really think you should.
They're furloughed at the minute.
Isn't that always the way? You get the staff, you sort them through, and then you have to put them on furlough. Never mind. It's okay.
We've just got one more week, and this week we are actually taking part in an online, a virtual pop-up shopping event. So we're going to try and raise some more money for St. John's Ambulance. It's called Discover Goes Pop, and it's basically a secret shopping event running on Tuesday and Wednesday. And there's like 200 small brands who are all offering some kind of discount or promotion. And it's free to sign up, so if anyone wants to get their hands on the discount codes, what's the easiest way to get them the link?
I think...
The easiest...
Yes, go on.
I think, say Google Discover Goes Pop, all you have to do is register with your email address and they will send you the directory with all the brands.
So let's go to that search engine routine. It's discover.pop.
Discover, so DISCOVHER, yep. And then Goes Pop. And then you can sign up with your email address and you'll receive the directory.
This sounds very complex, and just to actually help the listener, I will attempt to actually just type this into the system from this point of view. So let us just first of all check the line that we'll put into the search bar, and that will be, let me just sort of go away through this. So this of course really exceptionally wonderful radio where somebody actually talks our way through the whole thing. Discover.
You want a guided tour?
Exactly. Goes pop, all one word?
Yes.
Okay, discover her goes pop, and this has come through now. And you've got to discover, and we have virtual pop-up on Instagram,
yeah.
And is how you can bag huge discounts across 200 retailers. You've even got video on Vimeo, etc. So it's discover her goes pop, discover her goes pop. That's what'll take you there. Marvelous.
Yeah.
Again, Zoe, just when we think, okay, what can we talk about with this, with Zoe, this suddenly, bang, 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 you just take the thing through. It's brilliant, brilliant stuff. great. So, Zoe, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
I have, as always.
Marvellous. So back possibly from a different geographical location, but back with us again the same time-ish next week?
Sounds good to me.
Fruit bats, ever encountered them?
No, I haven't.
Ah, well, they are a fine band, a contemporary band, who effectively have been seen as really providing a series of songs for our times. Fruit bats now withdrawn away.
Oh,
relatively recent album, Gold Past Life, featuring, of course, Eric D. Johnson, Fruit Bats and Drawn Away. And we're drawn away now to our philosopher extraordinaire and indeed fine Stokesy correspondent. It's Poppy Booth. How are you, Poppy?
Hello, I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Marvellous. And in the not-too-distant future, we might well be running our first Zoom session with Poppy. So, very exciting. It's great stuff
there.
We were talking recently, like just a few moments ago, with Zoe Jameson, and we were talking about, obviously, changes and how we're into this post-lockdown world, and yet there's still lots of concerns. What's the feeling from your own point of view in Stokesley? How are things panning out there?
It's feeling weirdly normal, I think, in a lot of senses, which is surprising, in that, you know, when you go out to the town of Stokesley, there's people walking around everywhere who seemingly, you know, haven't even heard of the pandemic. It's a weird mix of people being really cautious and other people being not cautious at all. I don't know.
Well, as we've said, coronavirus is still out there. Beware and be very careful with that whole side of things. We need to ask, of course, the question. Results will have been coming through. How did it actually go with your degree in English and philosophy?
Yes, very good. Yep, very happy with it.
Congratulations. Yay! We knew it was going to work out splendidly, despite the fact that people saying, philosophy, why are you doing a degree in philosophy? Why? It's about people, how people think. I'm sure you've had those sort of lines put forward in various, why don't you become a mechanical engineer or something? Why don't you do that? Why is the sky blue?
You never ask sciences why they did that, do you?
No, exactly. Yeah. It's worth pursuing. Yeah. And now you've had a chance to really reflect on some of the material that's there. Obviously, we use these sessions to talk about the philosophy of music and other elements too. Is this a case of you look back on your whole experience and think, well, that's helped make me a better person? Or is it a case of, I'd do that differently, I'd have changed to that? Or is it just a case of part of the natural processes of life?
I think it's definitely improved me. And the thing with St. Andrews, my university, and what their module system is like is in your first 2 years, you have a third subject that doesn't really matter what it is. It doesn't have any relevance to your actual degree. So you can kind of do anything. And I think part of me wishes I'd have tried some other subjects then when it didn't matter. But I also did learn things from the ones I chose. And so, you know, you can't have any regrets, really. You can't go back and change it. Mm. And I definitely have grown as a person. And I think learning philosophy and through my English literature as well, it's made me gain a lot of skills that I wouldn't have gained through any other degrees and subjects. So I'm very, very happy with my choices. And don't think I'd change them at this point.
Every year, on an annual basis, it would seem, the media, when they're lacking other news stories, and presumably this year without coronavirus, they'll still address this. We have a notion about value for money, degrees, educational degrees, is it worth going to university, and so on. What advice would you give to somebody who might be where you were 3 or 4 years ago, 5 years or whatever, and maybe thinking about going to university, not sure, not quite clear as yet, getting conflicting advice? What advice would you give them?
I would say that it's definitely I think for me it was definitely a worthwhile experience, but I don't think in my time leading up to choosing to go to university that I heard enough about options other than university. So I think that I think with my generation it's really hammered home how important it is for you to go to university, because otherwise you'll never be employable, or, you know, it's much harder to get a job and everything. But I actually think that there are so many other routes you can go down that don't involve that. And if you're not particularly academically inclined, then it's definitely very worthwhile to look into other options like apprenticeships or something, because you can work your way up so quickly through doing those. And that probably honestly would be more practical skills than going to university would. I think now I have to go into learning those practical skills, even though I've learned a lot of the academic ones. But yeah, there's definitely pros and cons to both. But I still would have gone to university either way, but I wish I'd have heard more about the other options. So I think it's worth looking into those. That would be my advice, I think.
There are always alternatives, is the line to consider, and well worth going for, as well as actually listening to your inner intuition. Yeah. Moving on, in terms of what thoughts would you like to share with us this week? What are your philosophical scenarios? I mean, I would suggest that clearly there is the notion of the good place. Have you moved on through the second season as yet, or are you still locked into the second season?
Yeah, no, we're on season three now, so it's getting exciting.
Very good. And another option you might well consider in terms of, it's not the good place, but it's interesting in terms of its views on life, and certainly has a philosophical underpinning, maybe try Upload.
Oh, interesting.
Just put that out there. Upload. Well worth considering. It certainly addresses something which could well be frighteningly close to our current experiences, or then again, maybe not, when it starts talking about life and death and the whole experience. But as I was about to say and mentioned earlier, what would you like to share with us, philosophically speaking, this week, Poppy?
Well, I've been thinking about conspiracy theories in terms of philosophy, because I think that there's a big tendency to be drawn towards them at the moment, especially with the coronavirus. There's a lot of conspiracies about it, and whether it's a hoax or created in a lab, or whether, you know, it's actually what people are saying. There's a lot of different theories about it, and the philosophy of conspiracy theories, I personally think, is really interesting to think about, because the majority of the ideas within it are trying to define a conspiracy theory in a way that encapsulates everything that we would go towards as a conspiracy theory, as opposed to, you know, you could say a lot of philosophers argue that conspiracy theories are just theories that posit a conspiracy. And if they were that, then that would include surprise birthday parties and that kind of thing, which isn't really what you would think of when you think of conspiracy theories. So, you know, there's a need for it to be a more narrowed definition than just something that posits a conspiracy, and that's where most of the discussion is. So with the coronavirus conspiracy theories that have been going around, it's interesting to see whether you can actually call them conspiracy theories depending on what definition you choose. And another issue with some of the definitions that are put out there by some philosophers are that many of them involve a lot of things that actually did happen in history, you know, like the Watergate scandal in the US. That is seen as a conspiracy theory through a few of the definitions that say that they involve the government, or they involve, you know, higher groups controlling the lower groups and that kind of thing. But if they actually happened, then that kind of blurs the line of what a conspiracy theory is as well. So I don't know, I think it's an interesting conversation to think about.
And I would certainly point you in the direction of The Truth Is Out There, a documentary directed and written by Phil Leonis, who is very much part of this Midweek Drive team, one of our Los Angeles correspondents. I think it's available on Amazon Prime. The Truth Is Out There, well worth accessing, because it's certainly, whether you're dealing with Watergate or indeed the moon landings or not, it opens up a whole range of factors, and maybe actually points the finger in terms of the fragility of human beings in general, as to how we cope with life, and how we tend to overreact at times, for good or ill. And maybe that's one of the ways in which the 20th century certainly developed its mob rule, and has, I think, to date got the record of being the century which featured over 100 million killings by human beings. Not a great sort of species record to actually have, really. Maybe we should just ease back.
No, not ideal.
No, I don't think so. You know, it's a different line. But food for thought, and one we might well pick up on similar sort of time next week. We will, all being well in the not too distant future, have attempt number two to connect with Seattle soul Elena Flart.
Yeah, Elena.
Elena, exactly. So we'll see what she'll be doing. Possibly not in this particular program, but sometime in the course of various other podcasts, Elena will be manifesting her presence. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today, though, Poppy Booth?
Yes, more than reasonably interesting. I think it's been very interesting.
Wonderful. Curiously enough, we'll be joined as well by Jenny Bill, who did pretty much what you had actually did. Just dropped in an email, and we're giving her a little debut, really, from somebody who has worked as one of the country's leading ice skating correspondents, effectively. Although,
she,
yeah, I know. It's interesting. The philosophy of ice skating. We could work through that. open up so many things. Poppy, will you be back with us same time-ish next week?
Yes, I'd love to be.
I had a real fun experience last year. I got a chance to star in a motion picture called Pete's Dragon. One of the songs that I sing in the movie was nominated for an Academy Award. I'd like to sing the song for you now. I'll be your candle on the water. My love for you will always burn. I know you're lost and drifting, but the clouds are lifting. Don't give up, you have somewhere to turn. I'll be your candle on the water, till every wave is warm and bright. My soul is there beside you. Let this candle guide you. Soon you see a golden stream of light. A cold and friendless tide has found you. Don't let the stormy darkness pull you down. I'll paint a ray of hope around you, circling in the air, lighted by a holding on. You'll make it. Here's my hand, so take it. Look for me reaching out to shore. As sure as rivers flow, I'll never let you go.
We actually heard the singer herself, Helen Reddy, introducing the number there from the motion picture Pete's Dragon, the original version of Pete's Dragon, although the remake was pretty good as well, remake starring Robert Redford amongst others. That was Candle on the Water. And we always keep a candle on the water for Tessa Snart, don't we?
Hello!
Here we are. Well, I mean, I figure that the show started off with Hannah Brown launching the Midweek Drive and full force there, and Hannah doing some marvellous things, which you can listen to, again, on the Midweek Drive. Zoe Jameson, of course, preparing for possibly returning over to Newbury, amongst other things, to start her veterinary work. Poppy Booth on the philosophy of conspiracy theories. And now, first hour being rounded off with yourself, Tessa Snart. Well, as I say, if I do this quick calculation tour for people who are actually listening to this on Siren Radio live on the usual Midweek Drive slot, it's probably approaching 5:45. So there we are. Or there, about 5:45-ish. There we are. Moving straight on, walls and ceilings. Are we talking glass walls and glass ceilings, or something completely different?
Well, who actually knows? It depends what you make of the song. But actually, thinking about it, walls and ceilings, a lot of us have seen a lot of that just lately, being in lockdown. Obviously, that's easing slightly, so I don't know, really. But this song is by a band called Fred's House, and I'll actually be interviewing the lead singer, Vix, very soon on Country in the Kitchen. But they're due to release their new EP very soon, 4 brilliant tracks on there, and Walls and Ceilings is the title track. And they're kind of country, but they're also folk, Americana. They're a bit of a mix, but yeah. I actually listened to the EP over and over. I really enjoyed it.
Walls and
like a shooting star. Everybody wants to know who you are. Been looking for a brand new place to start, even just a new place to fall apart.
Find out what Robin Pierce makes about that probably next week. If you want to find out his thoughts on Carrington McDuffie's number, you'll have to listen to tomorrow's Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's got quite a rocky vibe to it as well, hasn't it, actually? Oh. Hopefully Robin will like that one, but we'll see.
Well, exactly, we will indeed. Country of the Kitchen, of course, is where you'll be featuring interviews with the band, and people can simply search for Country in the Kitchen and most search bars, and things will come through, will they not?
Yes, they all will, yes.
What was the Lincolnshire show like, Tessa Snott?
Oh, it was really, really good. I only I logged on, and obviously it was all online this year. I spent about an hour looking at all the different live videos. And, of course, it was all sectioned off. So you had your main ring tab that you could click on. And then under that tab, there was lots of different live videos. There was one tab, Countryside and Heritage. And the Dog and Duck Show was under that from previous years, and the Sheep Road Show. I mean, it really, really brilliant. They've pulled off a really good show, and all done online.
Yeah, although, as I said, I'm still not really one that believes they could count this as the 100 and whatever Lincolnshire show. I think it needs to be a separate category. I think it's like a separate season. It needs to be the Lincolnshire show on the 2020 online episode award.
No, I agree. I agree with that. Kind of like a different sort of show being online, but they managed it really, really well, and it's still nice to be able to see all the animals, and of course because you had all the different breeds, and you could see them being washed down and walked around the ring, and then obviously you had farmers and different guests speaking.
As Alan Stannett said, it was not the same because they didn't have a team from the Midweek Drive interviewing Alan Stannett and others to start off the thing with. But there we are. It's by the by.
That's the only thing, isn't it? It's a really, really great show. So it was sad not to be able to be there
We'll see what happens as things develop, because as we said, who knows where we're going with this current experience. But we do know what's up next. I've got three pieces of music, and Tessa, you need to choose which one is going to see us out of the first hour of the Midweek Drive.
Okay, what have we got this week?
Well, they're all by Lady A. Notice the way I said that. They need politically collect Lady A, because they're no longer Lady Antebellum, it's Lady A. I was tempted to do the Dixies, or the Chicks, I should say. The Chicks, because they've also dropped the hoeing. We would have gone for the Chicks' latest number, but unfortunately we couldn't find a radio-friendly version. I know.
Oh,
shocking.
Okay.
They do actually use the S word in there, but still, never mind. So we've gone for Lady A, and the choices are I Run to You, Home is Where the Heart Is, or, also suitable for Country in the Kitchen, All We'd Ever Need. All We'd Ever Need, Home is Where the Heart Is, or I Run to You. Which one are you going to see or recommend that we leave the first hour of the programme with before we head off to Tallulah Rendell, Jonathan Lindsley, Jessica Ward, and possibly George Mann as well?
Oh, well, I absolutely love all three of those tracks. I love Lady A. Mm-hmm. I really, really...
Well, we didn't say it was going to be easy for you, Tessa, you know. So.
I know. No, it's really hard. But I think I'm going to go with... I mean, I Run to You is a great one, but I'm going to go with Home is Where the Heart Is.
Mm. Also the title of a fabulous David Cassidy album. That's where the similarity ends, but there we are. Lady A, Home is Where the Heart Is. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today, Tessa Snott?
I have, thank you. I'll hopefully be back with you on the next show.
In a week's time. We'll see you then.
Work there. third shift at an all-night diner. Only stayed to save a little money for enough gas to make it to the East Coast. That's when I saw the brightest pair of deep blue eyes walking straight into my life. Every night we talked till it became so clear, and I could feel those dreams inside shifting gears. 'Cause love brought me here. Mama said home is where the heart is. When I left that town, I made it all the way to West Virginia, and that's where my heart found exactly where I'm supposed to be. It didn't take much time. It's just south of the Mason-Dixon line. South of the Mason-Dixon line. And I'm standing in my veil about to say I do, as Mama smiles with teardrops in her eyes. And then I realize there's something Mama always knew. Love is what I really left to find. When I left that town, I made it all the way to West Virginia, and that's where my heart fell.